News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the charity Gambling Care is hosting a panel discussion today on the importance of accessible care for those with gambling problems and addictions. And central to this discussion is the impact that gambling has on the friends and the family members of the person with the gambling addiction. And I'm joined now by Nicola Keating, whose husband is a recovering gambling addict. Good morning to you, Nicola, and thank you very much for joining us. I know it isn't easy to talk about this stuff, but that there's a real value in doing so for all the people that you're going to help. I know your husband's in recovery, Alan, but tell me about how it affected your family when he was in the throes of his gambling addiction.
Okay, so as you said, he's in recovery. He'll be 16 years free of a bet next month. But I suppose when we first met each other, we were both not long out of treatment centres. So it wasn't an ideal start. I never really understood what gambling was. The only understanding I had of gambling back then, I'm sure everybody remembers in Ireland, you would have been given a needle or a pen and the Grand National, you were told to pick out a horse. Mm-hmm. That was my only understanding of gambling ever. So within a year of meeting my husband, we were married. Within a year, it was very quick, very fast. I suppose I was looking for somebody to love me, to want me. He was looking for somebody to love and want him. And a year into the marriage, I knew there was something not right. I didn't know what it was because he wasn't coming home drunk. He wasn't coming home on drugs. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. And he was more a binge drinker at the time. And things just weren't adding up to why there was no money, why we were behind in bills. And I actually asked him, I said, are you having an affair? And he said, yeah. And I couldn't believe it. And he made this woman up and he told me where she was living and everything else.
Nicola, are you, sorry, I don't mean to cut across you at all, yeah. but just for people, are you saying he pretended he was having an affair that he wasn't having rather than tell you about his gambling addiction?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And when he went into treatment, what he actually said was the affair he was having was with a poker machine. So that's how he was able to make the story up, because it was the machine he was having the affair with.
Okay.
I never understood machines. I never played a poker machine. That's what his addiction is the poker machines.
Okay.
He wouldn't bet on horses or anything. Didn't go into bookies. It was more casinos that he would have always done.
Okay.
So that was his affair. And he would still say to you that was his love affair, was...
Okay.
With a machine.
And in terms of your family's finances, obviously, you're saying he spent your redundancy money over in the States gambling. And the family finances, were they always precarious because of the gambling? Was it always hard to make ends meet, or was money always disappearing?
Yeah, money was always disappearing. And I mean, we both had jobs. I was made redundant and then I went back to college to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And we were always on the breadline, always. It was always robbing Peter to pay Paul. But I managed somehow or another. When I start asking my parents for money, a loan of £20 back then, it got to the point that nobody ever knew who owned it, the £20, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Because there was always, they're giving it to me the following day, I'm giving it back, okay. I'm taking it back.
And
it was always like this.
Can I ask you how living like that affected your ability to trust him and affected your ability to feel in any way secure in your relationship?
I never felt secure. I never felt stability. I always knew I was going to have to figure out where the next bill was going to be paid or anything like that.
Yeah.
I lived more in his head than I did in my head. I could tell you when he was about to bet. I could tell you when it was going to happen.
So it became all about him, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost who I was
okay.
in the relationship.
And can I ask you, Alan obviously got help and, as you said, hasn't gambled now in a very long time. Once the gambling stopped, did everything change or was it a long road back?
Oh, it's still a long road back. We still walk on it. It just doesn't stop. I suppose he got help, but when he got help, I got help. Well, I actually went for help first. I just knew something had to change within me, not within him. No matter what I'd done or had tried to do or tried to control it. Like, I used to get his wages paid into my account, always trying to manage money, going to bed, sleeping with me purse in my pillow, hiding money around the house so that he couldn't rob me, hiding the kids' communion money, confirmation money, constantly on guard, constantly on spider mode of what possibly could happen.
Okay.
Always afraid of the kids. Not that he wasn't violent, but I didn't want anybody to upset if things were good.
Okay.
Because to me, that would be giving him the excuse to go and to gamble.
Okay.
So we were always on eggshells. The kids were always on eggshells.
Nicola Keating, look, thank you very much for joining us, Nicola. I do understand that that is a hard thing to do and we really do appreciate it. Thank you for joining us on the effects that problem gambling has on families. And if you have been affected by any of the issues raised in this item, please call Gambling Cares Helpline 1-800-936-725.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.